The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Well, good evening and welcome to our 7 o'clock worship service. It's good to have you with us tonight. And if you're visiting for the first time, it's good to have you. And we will be serving tea and coffee in the hall after the service. A call to worship inspired by Psalm 139. We've come to worship God who loved us before we were yet born, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases. This is our God. Let's worship together by singing our first hymn, "For the Healing of the Nation, Lord, We Pray with One Accord." Let us approach God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come into your church tonight, each with our own concerns, worries, and distractions. But we ask that you move them to one side. Instead, enter our hearts so that we may feel peace. Enrich our senses to the working of your Spirit. And remind us that we meet here all together, united in our love for you. Loving God, we know that you are a faithful God in whom we can place our trust and hope. We thank you for the comfort we have, that you are always with us, that you will never run out on us, that through you we will find help and strength in time of trouble. Lord, we thank you that no matter what situation we are facing, you are there to listen to us in prayer and to reach out in love, protection, and comfort. But forgive us, Lord, for all the times we have shut you out, for the times we have tried to solve problems on our own, when we have placed our confidence in the things that have no power to save or satisfy. Forgive us for trusting in our own strength rather than in yours, and for holding on to burdens that we were never supposed to carry on our own. Help us to cast all our worries and anxieties onto you, for you ask this of us. Lord, you are our shepherd, and in you we can find true refreshment for our souls. So, Lord of all, teach us that when we feel most weak and helpless, you are at your strongest. Save us from closing our lives to your presence. Give us renewed faith, greater trust, and deeper confidence in all that you're able to do. Teach us to trust in your strength rather than our own, and so we may attempt new things in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we come to listen to God's word to us tonight, we're going to sing our prayer of understanding, which is hymn 598, "Come Holy Ghost, Our Hearts Inspire."
Let's read together in God's word in the book of the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 4 at verse 1, and then we'll be flipping over to chapter 7 at verse 1. You'll find our first reading on page 932 in the Pew Bible. We are working through that group of 12 prophets known as the minor prophets in tradition. And tonight we come to this man Micah and the message that he delivered to God's people in a time of crisis. So reading from chapter 4 at verse 1. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob." He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And turning to chapter 7, and we get some idea of the state of the nation in Micah's time. What misery is mine! I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright, worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come. The day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. Do not trust the neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words. For a son dishonors his father. A daughter rises up against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to embrace his truth. Let's sing together now, friends. For me to live is Christ, with him new life begins. Now let us pray. God our Father, you delivered your word to your ancient people. The word was faithfully spoken in the infant days of the church. And we pray that that same word would nourish us as your people in this moment and enable us to be strong in your truth and to be more committed to your ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, it was quite some time ago now, but I recall being a guest at a wedding, and I was seated beside a young man who was a teacher, and he was feeling a bit downhearted. He was teaching art in a school which was in a challenging area of Glasgow, shall we say, and he said, you know, it really is so frustrating, you know, when you feel passionately about a subject, but you're speaking to people who just have no interest at all. And then he paused and he looked at me and he said, but of course you'll know what that's like, won't you? And it was a wee bit of a cold douche at that particular moment, but they do say that it's good to see yourself as others see you. And, you know, it was a wake-up call for me, I think, to realize that this young fella was lumping me in amongst all these people in society who feel that they're banging their head off a brick wall. But you know, when you think about it, you know, I'm 36 years in the ministry now, 36 years since ordination. And those 36 years have been years of decline. Years of decline in the Church of Scotland, but also decline in the Christian faith in general in Scotland and in the United Kingdom. When you mention the church, I'm sure that most people would say that we are part of a past. Maybe an honourable past, but some people would say a dishonourable past. And one of the major criticisms that's levelled against the church, and it comes from within the church as well, is that we fail to keep up with the times. That we don't understand our times. And that we are offering things to society that they don't want and they don't need. But you know, there's another way of looking at this. And it's this. That apart from not keeping up with the times, the real problem perhaps is that we've lost the capacity to challenge the times in which we live. We've lost the courage to address the moral and spiritual drift away from God, which is the story of our nation at this particular moment. Now, the classic prophets were men and women who were not afraid to address the times in which they lived. And this man Micah that we're dealing with tonight, he was typical of that kind of courage in the midst of a crisis in his nation. And there was a crisis because Assyria was beginning to flex her muscles. They were a great superpower at the time of Micah's ministry. And they were pretty good at kicking about all the wee nations in the ancient Near East. And they'd invaded the northern kingdom in Israel, and they were moving towards the southern kingdom of Judah, where Micah was placed. And Micah pointed to the impending danger, and he was quite clear about this. He said to his nation, he said, "This is the judgment of God, which is coming upon you because you're failing to honour the only true God. The so-called prophets in this land are preaching mince. And there is corruption from the highest level down through the whole of society. And you can expect the judgment of God to come down upon a nation like this." And you can imagine that if Micah is facing these conditions in his own society, and we saw him having a wander through the land in chapter 7 of our reading. If Micah is facing this extent of darkness in his land, you can understand if the man got dispirited from time to time. But the amazing thing about him was that he kept going. He kept going with his message, and things did change in the Israel of his days. And for that, Micah is remembered as being someone who was quite exceptional in the prophetic ministry. And he became an inspiration to prophets who were raised up down through the history of Israel. You know, Jeremiah, when we think of Jeremiah, we think of one of the big hitters in Hebrew prophecy. But Jeremiah, in chapter 26 of his book, and at verse 18, and this is worth looking at if you can bear with me. Jeremiah 26, at verse 18, when Jeremiah was faced with great challenges in his nation, he references Micah. He says, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He told all the people of Judah, 'This is what the Lord Almighty says. Zion will be ploughed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The Temple Hill a mound overgrown with thickets. Now says Jeremiah, did Hezekiah king of Judah or anyone else in Judah put him to death? Did not Hezekiah fear the Lord and seek his favour? And did not the Lord relent so that he did not bring the disaster he pronounced against them? Now this is a man exceptional among the prophets because his preaching brought change in the nation. But Micah had a broader vision. He didn't just see that he had done well in his own time. His vision embraced a bigger story. The bigger story that we heard about in chapter 4 of our readings tonight, where we see the promises of God fulfilled, where we see God's great project in creation coming to a conclusion. When God brings back the whole of creation, men, women, the whole created order is brought back to God and is united to Him and is walking in His ways and enjoying His peace. That is the great vision that we find in Micah chapter 4. That God has everything in hand and will work out His purposes for the whole of creation in the end. Now, we're faced with a challenge here. What do we do in face of this big picture which is being set before us? Is it down to us just to wait for God to sort everything out? Or does this demand something of us? And Micah's quite clear about that. In one of the more famous and well-used verses in the book of Micah, he says, chapter 6 and verse 8, that God has shown us what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. In the meantime, until that day when God exerts His influence through the whole of creation, He wants a people who, in the first place, will honour Him as God. And that will give the whole of creation a foretaste of what it's like to live in the new creation. We have to become people who, in the quality of our lives, give others a glimpse of what it's like to live at the end of all times. That's quite clear from chapter 4. Micah says we have to be a people who honour one God. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills and people will stream to it. Now, we live in a mountainous country. And as I found to my cost a few years ago, Israel is a mountainous country as well. When you're on a bike, it can be very challenging. And like us, the people of Israel appreciated their mountains, but the mountains were also threatening to the people of Israel. You've heard the prophet speaking of the high places that had sprung up in the mountains of Israel. Now, the high places were groves which had been established by people in order to worship idols. And they set up altars to these idols in the mountains. So that when a Hebrew looked at the mountains and he thought how wonderful this is, you know, how inspiring they are, there would also be the flip side, the dark side. I wonder if there are folk up there who've established groves and are working for false gods. Now that was what the mountains were saying to the people of Israel at this time. But what Micah is shown in his vision is a day when there will be only one high place. And that will be the mountain of the Lord. and all peoples, regardless of their ethnic background, regardless of their nationality, will stream to this mountain to be united in this God. Now, I realize that for many people, that would seem to be a very narrow vision, perhaps too exclusive an idea of God. But what we have to realize, friends, that if we are interested in the God of the Bible, then He is never presented to us as one option amongst many. He's not set aside other gods, and we have the privilege to choose. He's always presented to us as the Creator, the one who brought the universe into being out of nothing. He's presented to us as the sustainer of life on earth, who holds everything together. And He's presented to us as the Savior, the one whose great project is to bring sinful creation back to Himself, totally cleansed and renewed. And that vision continues, that focus continues with our Lord Jesus. Remember, He was the one who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Jesus who said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to Me." And the Apostle Paul carried on the vision at the end of Ephesians chapter 1, where he said that it was God's purpose from the beginning to bring all things in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ. And what we are called to do in our time, friends, is to recognize this God who revealed Himself through Jesus and is seeking to bring the whole of humanity, the whole of creation, together in Christ. So we're called to be a people who honor one God and a people who follow His truth. Verse 2 of chapter 4 says, "Many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths.'" He will teach us His ways so that we will walk in His paths. You know, a feature of the end of all things, when God brings His plan for creation to fruition, a feature of this will be that everyone will be in harmony with God's truth. You know, we sing His truth is marching on. And there will be a day when that truth overcomes any other conception of truth that might exist. There were many gods in Micah's time, and therefore there were many truths about how people should live their lives. But Micah in his day was calling people to walk in the paths of the one true God. And that has been a challenge to the church in all generations. You know, home in on any era of the church's history and you will find concern that nations are departing from the ways of God. Home in on any part of Christian history in any area and you'll find a concern that the church is departing from the ways of God. And it's not just a concern within the Christian church. Look at society in general. Truth has become one of the big issues for so many people. You know, there's a man called Anthony D'Ancona, a writer, who's written a book called Post-Truth. And in the introduction to this book, he says, "Welcome to the post-truth era, the era of fake news, the era of alternative facts, a time in which the art of the lie is shaking the very foundations of society. The art of the lie is shaking the very foundations of society. And more people are beginning to ask themselves, where can we find truth? Truth that we can rely on. But you know, there's something in me is asking a question. Can we really handle the truth? Can the church handle the truth today? You know, for years, people have been saying to me, you must watch that movie, A Few Good Men. I think it came out in 1993. And people have been saying to me, you would love this movie. And you know what it's like, you react against that. So I've never watched it. Tom Cruise would put anybody off. You know, he's the all right, she likes him. He's this young military lawyer who's defending two Marines who have been charged with the murder of another Marine. And he's questioning a man called Colonel Nathan Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson. Now, he plays a lot of creepy characters, but there is none creepier than Colonel Nathan Jessup. And he's questioning Jessup on the stand because he believes that Jessup has been complicit in the deaths of the two Marines. And at one point, Tom Cruise says, I want the truth. And Jessup replies, you can't handle the truth. And I wonder if that's the world today. I wonder if that's the church. Can we handle the truth about God? Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Do we believe that? Can we handle the truth about ourselves? Jesus said that he came to this world to pay the price for sin, to release us from our bondage to sin. Can we handle that when so many people nowadays even question the very existence of sin? And in Christ we find the truth about our destiny. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now that's not a church on the back foot. That's not a church cringing in the margins of society. That is a church that's been caught up on the forward movement of a God of all creation. And what's going to matter at the end of all things is if we are part of that movement. Until that time, we're called to be a people who honour one God and who follow his truth. And in the end, we will enjoy his peace. This is what the vision of Micah said. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. At the end of all things, we will enjoy his peace. Can I just disturb your peace with one word? Brexit. You know, the days go on. And I don't know about you, but I understand less the more I hear. And yet I toddled along to the polls with everybody else and put my cross down at a particular place. And I'm not going to tell you. But you know, when you read this stuff and you hear them on the television, you think to yourself, surely there is somebody who can come and sort this out. And it's a very natural response that comes from deep in the human psyche. We recognize when things have got to the point where we need someone to intervene and to sort things out for us. You know, that happened to me this morning. I got up early as usual and I opened up the fridge and a 2-pint carton of milk had spilled across the whole of the fridge. Full fat milk, which I like for my porridge. And it was all over the place. And the first thing that I heard coming up from deep within myself is, who's going to sort this out? She's away down in Cheltenham at this point in time. Who is going to sort it out? By the way, just as a wee aside, everything's sorted. I've cleaned it up and everything should be okay. But in every complex issue, there is something within ourselves crying out for a saviour. And in the vision that Micah's putting before us tonight, we're seeing a God who will sort things in the end. We're told that he will judge the nations. Where will our nation stand in that moment? He will settle disputes between nations, and there will be peace. Now, the Hebrew conception of priests, of peace, is not just an absence of war and conflict. Hebrew has this lovely word, shalom. And what it means is that in the first place, men and women have found peace with God. And as a consequence of that, they're enjoying peace within their communities. Their relationships are relationships of peace. And that is what we have to look forward to as Micah shares it with us. And that concept of shalom, it fitted very well into the mindset of the early church. Well, the Apostle Paul is able to say, we are justified by faith through our Lord Jesus and have peace with God. Because our Lord Jesus has taken upon himself our sin and paid the price. And we are justified through our faith in that sacrifice for us, and we have peace with God. And later on in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, the first letter, Paul encourages people, calls upon people to live at peace with one another. You have peace with God. Now show that peace in your relationships one with another. You know, I was reading a book recently written by a Cistercian monk. And at one point, he says this. He says, from being a garden of peace and sweet encounter, the world became a laboratory of selfishness, violence, and warfare. In the beginning, a garden of peace and sweet encounter. And then it became a laboratory of selfishness, violence, and warfare. But of course, that's not the end of the story. And this fellow goes on to describe how God, in his mercy, is seeking to bring us back to the garden of peace and sweet encounter. And until that time, Friends, people of the kingdom like you and me are called in our lives to give people a foretaste of that peace and sweet encounter. That's what Micah is emphasizing when he says that we're all called to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. It's what Micah means in verse 5 of chapter 4, where he says, all the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Let's pray. God our Father, we ask that you would impress upon heart and mind all that you're seeking to teach us concerning our lives and where we are heading according to your great purpose. So take us as we are tonight, conscious of our frailty, conscious of the darkness in our own lives, and enable us to hand this over to you, knowing that Jesus has died for all of this. And wills us to be a people who are free to show his goodness, his love, and his justice in our own time. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now we sing together, friends, the paraphrase, which is based on Micah chapter 4. Behold, the mountain of the Lord in latter days shall rise.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring to you tonight our offering as a token of all you have done for us. But help us not just to bring our money and presents, but also our whole being. May we offer all that we are, our talents and abilities, time and commitment, listening ears and kind words, our laughter and our tears, to help serve your people and to show them the love we know and experience through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Loving God, we have so much to be thankful for, and yet at times we focus on what we do not have, or we take what we do have for granted. But today we remember our blessings. We give you thanks especially for our church family here at St. Paul's and for the wider community in Mulgay. We thank you for the friendships that you have blessed us with, and we thank you for our faith and the hope that we have even in times of trials, ill health and adversity. We know, God, that you never leave us. You are before us, with us and ahead of us. You know us by name and we are yours. And we are reminded today of your great power and that through you all things are possible. Help us to trust in this promise for our own lives and to hand over to you all the burdens in our hearts that are holding us back from fully experiencing your presence and transforming power. Lord God, we thank you too for the people that you have placed within this church to serve. We thank you for the people sitting here tonight that are committed to be light to this world through all they do and say throughout the week. Lord, we also thank you today for those people called to be missionaries, both here in Scotland and abroad. People that have trusted not in their own strength, but in yours, and who have taken challenges and risks to serve your kingdom, often in hostile situations and environments. May these missionaries experience that through God all things are possible, and help others turn to Jesus despite their challenges. And we especially remember our missionary partners that are serving in your name in Japan, who are still very much a part of our family and who remain in our hearts and in our prayers. Loving God, as we come now to pray for our world, we admit to feeling overwhelmed by the daily news, feeling so helpless to make a difference in a world that is torn apart by violence and corruption and the devastating effects of natural disasters. But we also know that we can make a difference by our prayers that release your power, power to change even the most hopeless, desperate situations. So, Lord, we pray for peace in countries affected by violence and corruption. We pray for the innocent caught in danger. We pray too for aid agencies and missionaries that seek to help those affected by natural disasters. We pray for those in our communities and families that are struggling with life. We pray that your power is released to bring comfort, peace, and hope. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. Help us to open up our lives to be enriched by your love. Lord, hold our hand, steady our feet. Help us to trust and to surrender to you our loads, our idols, our self-interest, our self-sufficiency and our self-centeredness. Help us to see our great riches in the kingdom of Christ. And here is now as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll come and we'll sing our final hymn of this evening, When Zion's Fortunes God Restored.
And now may you go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore. Thank you.